Welcome to our NPR Illinois Forum series, Election 2018, Seeking Solutions, the series produced by NPR Illinois and supported by AARP. I'm Sean Crawford, NPR Illinois News Director, and tonight's program is a partnership with public station WVIK. We're in Moline at City View Celebrations. We're glad you could come out tonight, and we also welcome to those listening on the air and through social media. We're traveling across Illinois this year to hear how voters, people just like yourselves, feel about the issues that are facing the state. Tonight, one of the issues we really want to focus in on is something that came up last year when we came around and did some forums in this area, and that was the loss of population in the state of Illinois. A lot of people talked in this area about leaving the state, especially as they retired or possibly moving across the river and living in Iowa and still being able to keep their job and stay close to family and friends. So we want to hear from you if you've considered that, maybe some of the reasons why that is on your mind, or maybe you know some people who have done that. Other issues, of course, involving the election this year, election 2018, we'd like to hear from you about those as well. So we look forward to hearing questions or comments from you this evening, and we'll ask you to step up to the microphone if we call on you. We look forward also to hearing from our panel tonight. I'm going to let them introduce themselves, and we'll start right here with Michael.
So I'm Michael Glanz. I'm the executive director with the Arc of the Quad Cities area.
I'm Sonia Berg. I am the alderman at large for the city of Moline, as well as a realtor for Rural and Rural Realtors.
Buenas tardes. My name is Greg Aguilar. I work for the Quad Cities Chamber, and I serve as the director of Q2030, leading our regional action plan.
All right, thanks to our panel for being here tonight. Let's go ahead and get started. And again, we'll ask for some questions from the audience as we go along here this evening as well. But I'd like for each of our panelists to talk for a moment about some of the of what they're seeing when it comes to the state's fiscal issues, how it's impacting the jobs that you have to do. And again, Michael, we can start with you. Certainly the state went through a two-year-long budget impasse, and I know not-for-profit groups certainly suffered from that. Have things rebounded enough at this point?
I don't think every nonprofit has for sure not rebounded. Every program has not been able to start again. There's still a number of programs that went unfunded during it and then haven't been able to rebuild enough base to build that funding back up, specifically for the Arc of the Quad Cities area. I do know we had a respite program that went away that was grant funded by the state that a number of families are no longer have that service for us. Other things though, for the in general, on the budget impasse and the state of the budget currently right now, we do continue to advocate for our workforce and ensuring that we have adequate wages, since we are heavily state funded in our services, to ensure that we can support real wages for our direct support workforce that does vital work in the community. So that's a huge thing that we advocate for and is needed in the funding in the Illinois budget.
Sonia?
Well, I would say from the real estate side, you know, we are definitely seeing a lot of our buyers wanting to buy in Iowa rather than, you know, live in Illinois. They're, you know, packing up and moving over to the Iowa side. They feel the taxes. It's the property taxes. The property taxes is really the big reason until they see the whole big picture of it.
Greg?
Regionally, we're lucky because we're in a bi-state area, and that helps us because if one economy is not doing as well from one state, the other economy is often doing a little bit better. What I've been seeing, especially with our business communities and site selectors, those who are looking to develop new businesses or expand businesses, is that Illinois seems a little bit more risky. It's a little bit more scary compared to Iowa. But if a business feels that it's the right choice and it's the right decision, they will do it. But it does not happen without us having to explain that there is going to be an environment that's going to have a steady workforce. It's going to have what it needs to be successful. But there have certainly been a lot of questions whether or not it is the right move or a safe move. But we also can't ignore that there's a lot that happens and that Illinois has to offer that still makes us extremely attractive to business.
Well, Greg, speaking of businesses, people will go where the jobs are. Are there enough jobs, well, first in the state of Illinois, but certainly in this area? I think I saw where the unemployment rate was the lowest in the Quad Cities in the state. But is it enough to keep people here?
It's not rocket science, but good wages keep quality employees. And companies and businesses who are paying fair, honest, good wages, those companies are doing fine. Companies that want to take advantage, well, they don't do as well. But I find that it has people have been happy. People who choose to make their choice, it works out well for them. But part of the challenge is the rhetoric and the conversation that's happening around the state of Illinois. We do know what the problems are. We know there are challenges, but we can't ignore that there's also pretty amazing things, especially if you want to expand business in Illinois. I mean, the infrastructure alone, the amount of highways and interstate systems that exist, second to none. So there's still a lot that we have to offer, but unfortunately there has been a lot of negative talk and a lot of fear that pushes businesses away at times. But the reality is nearly 13 million people live in Illinois. That's a healthy workforce that businesses are certainly looking for.
And again, we do want to hear from people in the audience tonight, their thoughts about this, maybe some solutions you might have for the state of Illinois. But Sonia, let me go back to what you mentioned, property taxes. It would be as easy for me to move from Moline than it would be across the river. I could still keep a job if I was working in Illinois. Maybe I'm paying less to live in Iowa. I don't know if that's the case. You'd know that better than I would, but is that a real threat to towns like Moline?
It certainly is. You know, I did some stats before I actually came because like year to date, I mean, and some people don't know this, but year to date, Illinois Quad City volume is up 5% over last year, while in the Iowa Quad City volume is down 8% over last year. And obviously, the way we tell buyers is, you know, you really do get more bang for your buck. Even though the property taxes are higher, but you still got to think about the vehicle registration and tax and the state income tax is higher over in Iowa. So
they get more, they're paying more, but they're getting more is what
exactly.
You're saying. Exactly. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, Michael, when it comes to something like the Arc of the Quad Cities, do you have people who are moving to get better services in other states?
Well, see that every once in a while. We don't see that too often. So we see a service population of people that have services mostly. So they come to us, they have services, and that does lock them for the most part living, because a lot of services for people with disabilities specifically don't necessarily transfer across state lines. We have had some people, if you're sitting on a wait list in Illinois, you might be more successful to move to a wait list in another state where they're able to get funding to those people on those lists a little faster. And so we have had some people that I do know of some people that have graduated high school in this area and that have disabilities that move out of state so they can get services after high school.
Now, I'm based in Springfield, so I'm pretty much surrounded by the state of Illinois, so I don't hear quite often what's going on in the other states like Iowa, Missouri, maybe Indiana, Wisconsin, but my guess is Illinois' reputation is for being a state that has its act together is not as good maybe as some of these other states. Is that a big factor? Do you guys have to fight that battle as well?
I can go first on I think we fight that on a regular basis with our services. We fight it when we go to national conferences. We do know that Illinois does rank in the bottom few states for its funding effort on services for people with disabilities. It is usually the 47th, 48th, somewhere in there. It changes year by year, but it's always in the bottom, at least the bottom five of the states on their funding effort towards people with disabilities. And so that is a stigma we have to really fight all the time, even though then I think as a Quad Cities, we have banded together and found ways to offer great services to our community and to really meet our missions. And I think that's across the board with a lot of our nonprofits that we work, again, to bring sometimes bi-state money. So we have an Iowa, Illinois Center for Independent Living, which is a bi-state center for independent living, which is unique in that it serves both sides of the river and gets funding both from Illinois and from Iowa.
Feel free to weigh in on that.
I would say, in as far as an alderman in the city of Moline, you know, what we're doing what we can between city council and Mayor Akre to spur growth as businesses. I mean, right now we have IH Mississippi Valley Credit Union that is going to be headquartered here, bringing many jobs that are from Iowa over to the employees will be coming from Iowa over here to Illinois. Divvy Dose is one of the fastest growing businesses growing, and they just bought some property. They just actually are leasing some property down on John Deere Road, and they're hiring constantly. I mean, you know, new employees they're bringing in. So, you know, we're just looking at the positive of it.
There's certainly frustration with how people feel about Illinois. That's no secret. We hear it. We see it. And people want to talk about, the unfunded pension or the fear of our state's collapse. And so it's common. But what people aren't talking about is a bi-state region like the Quad Cities, where we're working through it together. You know, as Mike, right? Mike mentioned earlier where we can help each other with funding and help support, especially when it comes to the nonprofits. But one thing that I hope starts happening in the state of Illinois is every individual person needs to realize their strength and their power and their influence over opinions about the state of Illinois, as well as how their opinion matters, especially in Springfield. And also us being a bi-state region, how we can leverage 4 U.S. senators in Washington. So we have some advantages, but we also need individuals to start really looking at a brighter picture. And every state is going to have their issues. But if we continue to just focus on the negative without action to try to repair it, it's not going to help anyone. But if we really want to see change, we really have to change the way we're looking at ourselves and looking at what's working well, try to continue to improve which is working well and fix which is not working as well. But we have to talk about it, and we have to have honest conversations at the local level and at the state level. And we have to demand that the state works for their local communities. But when we have low voter turnout and when we have nobody showing up to a school board meeting where a lot of our budget is spent, which is important because that's where we develop our workforce. But if we're not engaged with the conversations of our own future, we're going to allow others to create the rhetoric of how we feel and how we think about Illinois, and we really need to step up as individuals.
Again, if you have some questions tonight, if you filled out one of those cards, hold a card up and somebody will come get one, get it from you if you'd like, and we'd ask you to step to the mic when we call on you. Census numbers last year showed Illinois dropped from the 5th largest state down to number 6. Pennsylvania moved up past us. Illinois lost nearly 34,000 residents. That was the biggest drop of any state. So the issue is real. Now, Greg, you just mentioned, though, there are some positives in the state of Illinois that maybe are getting pushed under the rug a little bit here. What are some of the things when you are trying to recruit business or retain people here, what are some of the things you push to say, hey, this isn't a bad place to be?
You know, first and foremost, we have an incredible workforce. We have nearly 13 million people, 12.8 million people living in Illinois. And there's a culture of people in the United States, or there's a culture of people here in Illinois who have always shown up to work, and they have developed their children to also show up to work. So we have a solid workforce. We also have 86 nationally ranked public high schools here in Illinois. We're developing the workforce that we need. And we also can't ignore, in 2007, Illinois' GDP was $646.7 billion, and it ranked 50 in the United States. Now in 2017, we're up to $820.4 billion, again, leaving us ranked 5th in the United States. So 34,000 people leaving the state of Illinois, of course. We want them to stay. We want them to grow. But the GDP continues to grow in Illinois. Businesses continue to thrive, as you heard Alderwoman here talk about businesses expanding and growing. It's still happening. And again, it's up to, we have to change the rhetoric of what's really, really happening.
This population loss issue plays a big in areas like when we talk about not-for-profits. Fewer people paying taxes, fewer people here. That hurts when it comes to funding certain services. Or it hurts if you're a city, for example, and you have fewer people who can pay the property taxes to fund city government and the services that are needed. Can you both talk about that? Are you seeing a decline in some of those revenues?
I think we've yet to actually feel that decline yet, I think. I think, and that probably comes from, I think, a lot of the budget impasse we had for the last 2 years in Illinois, where we were kind of learning to scrape by on no budget. So just to have a budget is better to get that funding, and so we're not necessarily seeing.
And can you talk maybe a little bit about the budget impasse? We'll come back to the other question I asked, but what it meant for you. You said trying to scrape by without a budget. Did you lose personnel? What happened with that?
So The ARC specifically was protected by a number of court cases that made sure that it was the Ligas court case did make sure that our people that we served got the majority of our funding. But I know there's a lot of other nonprofits out there that weren't receiving funding, and we're really kind of trying to scrape by on those issues. And so it's those nonprofits, I think, that really they learned how to do more with less, which is what we always talk about and have to do in the nonprofit field, I think, but they really tried to. So to have that budget, to have some of that money flowing, I think has been great. So we haven't yet, I think, seen that impact of the declining revenues necessarily, or seen the money stop flowing through as much based on that. I think that is always the concern, though, and I think that's where you see a lot of people holding back on their investments. into the field and into their services because they want to keep some money just in case a budget doesn't pass again or just in case something happens. So you have to keep it locked up in an endowment or locked up as restricted funds so you're not necessarily investing to grow your services much. And I'd say we definitely are seeing that across the human services.
And Sonia, from the city of Moline standpoint.
And from the city standpoint, you know, obviously with the budget, you know, we, you know, are restricted on to, I mean, as far as what we can do, you know, again, you know, just, you know, sitting around kind of, again, like the nonprofit is, it's working with what we have right now, so.
We did have a question from an audience member, Angie Normoyle, if she could make her way up to the microphone, if you could, appreciate that. And she's got a question for our panel. Angie?
I'm short, so I'll just do this. I'm not sure anybody has any easy answers to this, but my thoughts are on education, because we're talking about the disparity or the differences between Iowa and Illinois. My husband is a physician. When they recruit new people to the area, a lot of times they have children, and obviously that's one of the most important things is people look at schools. I will say that I served on the Moline School Board from 2007 to 2011, and I think Moline schools are top-notch. The facilities, the folks that work for theirs make those schools shine. They look fantastic when you walk inside. However, Sonia, maybe as you're driving people around, if somebody's looking on the Iowa side, somebody's looking on the Illinois side, the Iowa schools are newer, they're shinier, there's shopping close by. And if you're not from the area, you know, my husband is from this area, there was never any decision about living in Iowa or Illinois, we're gonna live in Illinois, but if you don't have that tie, it looks very appealing on the other side of the river. So one of these concerns that I have is how can we in Illinois change the funding for our schools? The local schools are really in a between a rock and a hard place, because if you have lower taxes, then you can't spend as much money on your schools. And then if you have lower taxes and aren't spending as much money on your schools, perhaps they're not as appealing to new families. So it's a real catch-22 that we face, I think. And then within the state, there's not a good consensus on what we should do, because the northern Chicago suburbs are perfectly happy with the way we fund schools, right? They take their high property taxes and spend two or three times what downstate communities can afford on their students. So, you know, I don't know that that's a question, but it's something that I think about a lot. It's a really tough issue. Certainly, you know, Sonia sees it. Greg, you know, I don't know with the 2030 thinking if there's any thoughts that people have had and what can we do. I feel kind of stuck at the state level because there hasn't really been, you know, we passed a small reform, but it really doesn't meet the root of the problem.
Yeah, and I think at a recent forum that we held, we actually was focused on education. And you're right, there was a legislation that was passed and signed into law that tries to redistribute some money to the schools that right now can least afford to raise money. But a lot of that it's going to be slow going. And for kids who are just starting in school right now, the real impact of that may not be felt by the time they get out of high school. So it's going to be a long time coming. But any of you want to take that on? And Greg, let me start with you on that, and we'll come back to Sonia. But while you're at it, can you also give a little explanation about the 2030 initiative?
Sure. Q2030 is the regional action plan for the Quad Cities. How are we going to get the Quad Cities to be a cool, creative, connected, and prosperous region that's globally recognized for attracting, retaining, and developing top talent, as well as attracting and developing and growing business here by the year 2030? Q2030 had an initiative recently called the Quad Cities Big Table, where over 5,000 Quad citizens came together to talk about what was on their mind. We recently announced the results of the Big Table, and one of the big three that came up is how does the Quad Cities create a world-class education for our region? That is huge. It's huge because Quad citizens realize that there isn't always equitable funding when it comes to schools, depending on what side of the river. But to say one side is doing better than the other is not fair. Because we've seen it in the press, we've seen it in the paper, we have Dr. Tate fighting very hard for equitable funding within schools in Iowa. We also can't ignore the fact that there are two schools in the Quad Cities that have national distinction for excellence. One of them is Pleasant Valley in on the Iowa side, and the other one's United Township High School in Illinois. But again, are we showing up to the school board meetings? Are we showing support? Are we lobbying in Springfield and in Des Moines and in DC for equitable funding and for more funding? Are we talking to our legislators to create a better system, to create a stronger workforce and educate the next generation of young people? And again, I've been to these school board meetings and we're not there. We're not there, but we also cannot expect that change is going to happen organically without people stepping up. Both sides have challenges. All states have challenges with education. But at least here as Quad Citizens, we have already made our voice heard that we want world-class education. And so now the next step is, as a region and our community leaders and our leaders on working every day, we need to come together to make the, what does a world-class education look like? How are we going to do this together?
Sonia?
And to address Angie, we do. I mean, as realtors, we do see those issues where they come in town, we'll pick them up at the airport or meet them at our office, and it's drive me right to Iowa. And, you know, so I, you know, my husband and I sell real estate together. And so we will, you know, drive them to Iowa. However, you know, what we like to do, because we do get a lot of relocation from the hospitals and from the bigger companies here, is let me show you the Quad Cities. So we drive them around and may eat downtown, you know, Rock Island or downtown East Moline or somewhere, and get them and show them all the high schools, because they are told, and Angie's, I mean, it's the truth. I mean, they're told, take me over to PB. And, you know, they've already done their homework. They've already talked to, during interview process, have talked to coworkers to be. So, I mean, you know, again, I mean, we've had quite a few that, you know, they were like, you know what, it's not so bad on the Illinois side, you know. I'm now going through the high school, then they're looking at the statistics and the growth and everything. I mean, I know that, is it Hamilton School on 7th Street? That's been a big, like I said, we don't steer anyone to what schools or anything, what neighborhoods, but Hamilton has been a big, huge, I want to send my kids to Hamilton School over here on the Illinois side. So Moline does have a lot to offer as well, the high school.
At that earlier forum we talked about, or I was mentioning earlier, I believe it was, and this was in Peoria, and it was brought up, the Peoria Public School District, the superintendent said, had roughly 60% of the money they felt they needed. Now, so they feel they're underfunded. Now, at the same time, we just talked earlier about one of the reasons people leave the state is because of property taxes. The property taxes go up, people feel they can't stay and afford to live here. So there's a balancing act. How do you balance that out? Anybody got any ideas for that?
One thing that does come up with that, and Alderwoman Berg had mentioned this earlier, where property taxes are a major issue. That's one that we cannot ignore. We hear it almost every day around here. It's even challenging for those citizens who might want to retire, but they can't sell their home. And then looking at values on both sides of the river, saying, wow, I could get a bigger house on the Iowa side with less property tax. And then those that have invested in Illinois, as they try to sell it, they can't, because that property tax, it scares people. That is a reality. How we're gonna fix that, I don't know. I do not have a solution for that, but it's certainly something that is affecting us. But when you go to register your car, in Illinois, no matter what your car is worth, it's gonna be $121. If you're on the Iowa side, it's gonna cost you depending on how much that car is worth. So whatever you saved in property tax values, you're gonna have to increase that tax that you're paying on your car. When it comes to income tax, Illinois has a lower income tax rate. Iowa has a higher income tax rate. When it comes to retirement, Illinois does not tax retirement. And we have to be fair, because if we're only looking at property tax values, of course, Illinois, we lose. But if we're looking at the whole picture, I think it ends up being about equal.
Michael, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Okay, and to piggyback off of what Greg is saying, it is true. We actually, we'll sit down and we'll take both numbers, $150,000, I'll actually use $160,000 because I actually have it here, but we'll take that $160,000 house in Illinois. Yes, the property tax is higher, but a comparable house to that $160,000 house you're gonna buy in Iowa priced at $220,000, the property tax will be higher, as well as the state income tax is gonna be higher. And as Greg said, the vehicle registration, license tags, you know, and I even went down into like the cities of, you know, the, as far as, and these are 2016 statistics, But even when you're paying your like water bill and your it really does balance itself out. You know, I mean, the water, the, you know, garbage, you know, every city prices them differently. So, and again, to get back to the school thing, Angie, I will tell you the chamber does a really good job with the Arsenal, where they take these new, I believe they're the new employees, on a trolley. I actually did the trolley. We actually went through, you know, Rock Island, Bettendorf, Davenport, East Moline. We went all the way down to Silvis. I mean, we take they take these new employees around and show them the different areas, because some of them have come and just started running, but at least they get a kind of a feel to see where they may want to buy here in the Quad Cities. And the chamber, in conjunction with the Arsenal, does a fabulous job with that.
When you're talking about all the property taxes and the concerns over some of those payments, and then you're a not-for-profit, like the Arc of the Quad Cities, how, I mean, you're kind of caught in that a little bit. It's certainly not as much money that you're talking about when, you know, that maybe goes for education or some other, you know, portions of your property tax bill, but it's still part of that discussion. When you're asking for funding, people are, in many cases, saying, I'm tapped out.
Yes, I think people believe that, yes, they pay for those services through their taxes, or they've already paid enough, and so they kind of, you should figure a way out to provide those services to them.
Is that a challenge, I mean, for you when you're trying to lobby for more money in some cases?
That's probably not our biggest challenge, actually, on the property tax issue. I think we see that mainly the way that everyone else on the panel sees the property tax issue. It's a choice of where I want to live, where our employees are coming from, where they want to spend their dollar, and they just look at that property tax as being a barrier, not looking at that. What I would say is really that whole picture of the tax situation here and the amount of services they do, the great services they do get. I go back to something Greg said earlier about focusing kind of on the strengths that we do have, and really to highlight those strengths. That goes back to the schools. I think I go to a lot of presentations. I don't have any kids in the school system, but I go to a lot of presentations from different leaders in our schools, and the passion that I see from those leaders that are leading the Illinois schools is great. They've got a lot of passion. I've learned about a lot of cool things they're doing and using augmented reality, and they're doing some virtual reality things, and they're doing all sorts of a lot of cool things in the schools that are really great to highlight the passion they have as teachers and as educators.
When the topic of education comes up, you can't ignore higher education. And we're hearing that a lot of students, more students, are going out of state to college, usually because of funding concerns or questions about the future of certain programs at certain universities, again, because of funding in Illinois. A lot of times, those kids don't come back. They go, they may go across the country, they may go just to the next state over, but they go there, they start working there, they don't come back to the state of Illinois. Is that a big challenge when it comes to keeping population and keeping people in, say, this area?
Well, it's a huge challenge, because we want to keep our talent, we want to develop our talent here, and we want to maintain them in the state, and we want them to contribute to our workforce here in the state. But it also is very common, especially amongst graduates in the United States. I think everyone remembers in high school that when you turned 18, everyone knew somebody that said, I'm going to get out of this town, or I'm going to get out of here, I'm going to get out of the state. That is something kind of very natural that happens to young people. Now, but the accessibility to higher education here, community colleges, is pretty amazing what we have here. But again, if all we're saying is Illinois is broke, Illinois is horrible, Illinois is terrible, why would somebody stay? And then if we're talking to our children and our grandchildren saying, oh, get out of here, it's horrible, but parents and grandparents are staying back, well, if it's so horrible, why are you staying? But we cannot ignore what we're saying and what we're thinking and how that affects our talent. But also what's surprising is after a certain amount of time, after these young people have lived in major cities throughout the United States, and after they've paid $1,900 a month for rent in Manhattan, and they realize, wow, they've never owned a home, and they're pushing 40, that's when we start to see young people starting to come back. People who have left to come back because they realize that there is an advantage to living in Illinois. Some of those advantages include the various communities that you can live in and actually own a property for half of the cost that it costs you to rent in a major city. And so we are starting to see people, young people, saying, hey, there are opportunities here. I mean, the amount of Fortune 500 companies that exist in the state of Illinois is pretty impressive. But again, but the reality is that young people are often trying to leave the area where they're from, but they get to a certain point and they say, maybe it's time for me to come back.
Greg, I love you taking that 1900.
$500 apartment in Manhattan. I think they might be even higher.
Well, it's about 500 square feet. You know, it's more of a refrigerator.
We do have another question from an audience member, Virgil Mayberry. If he could step up to one of the microphones, to the microphone over there, and feel free to ask your question to the panel.
Yes, thank you. I am Virgil Mayberry. I'm second ward alderman in the great city of Rock Island. I believe we've talked enough about Iowa, okay? Nothing up there says Iowa. We need to talk about Illinois. One of my questions is, why do we not have term limitations in the state of Illinois? I believe in that. The other part of it is, I worked in the state of Iowa for John Deere for 9 years. I never thought about moving to the state of Iowa, okay? Why? There's nothing there. As some of the people here have spoke, we've got everything going on in the state of Illinois. Boeing, did Boeing consider going to the state of Iowa? In my ward, the second ward, we just got a group called Millennia to come to Rock Island from Ohio, and they're infusing $66 million into the city of Rock Island, $44 million in Arsenal Courts, okay, which is Century Woods, and $22 million in Heather Ridge, which is in my ward. Never in the history of Rock Island has anyone ever brought that kind of money to Rock Island. But how much news media do we get with what's going on? We are doing great things in the city of Rock Island, as my colleague, Ms. Berg, they're doing great things in Moline too, but it don't really get out there. I have traveled all over the world. If you mention Iowa, they get it mixed up with Utah, okay? If you mention Illinois, it's Chicago. Why? Chicago has always been Illinois. So we need to take care of home. As I said in the beginning, I would like the panel's opinion as far as term limitations. I don't believe anybody should sit anywhere in an elected position for umpteen years.
You're talking at any level?
Any level. Okay. The presidency of the United States is, what, 8 years? If that's good enough for 8 years, why not the aldermen? Why not the mayors? It works. But as long as you got people becoming career politicians, you're always going to have corruption in that. So as I say, I would like the panel's opinion as far as term limitations in the state of Illinois, not the state of Iowa.
Thank you very much. Everybody's from Iowa in the audience. We'll give you equal time on that too. So Sonia, why don't you take that one?
You know, I will say that I do believe in the term limits as well. I previously had sat on a college, the community college of Blackhawks Board of Trustees, and there were some board members when I came on that had been there 19, you know, 17 years, you know, a long time. And I do believe in the, you know, as Greg's working really hard, you know, to bring in that young talent. And, you know, I do feel that there, you know, we that's one thing that we want is we want this young talent to start running for political positions and get their feet wet and start doing it right here in their hometown. So as I do will say that I do believe in the term limits as well.
Does anybody else want to weigh in on that?
Sure. That's a tough question because I could certainly see both sides. Because on one end, if we have incredible leaders and they're doing an incredible job, why would we limit their time in office if they're doing very well? You know, that's one side of the coin. But the other side of it is also the more people that are engaged with elected office, and if there are limits, the more people you will have running for positions. And the more people that you have that understand government, especially from an elected position, the stronger a community can be. So let's say there's a limit of 3 terms and no matter what position, and if they're 1 year, in a 10-year period, you might have 3 different people who can always collaborate and work together to make things better. So it's tough to say, but if that's something that the voters really want, we really need to bring that up in Springfield, and we really need to bring that up on the national level. But I think both sides could really argue a fair point.
I can oblige my opinion. I don't think it really matters much in this type of, in this arena necessarily, or in this for my politics and that. But the So I, again, I'd actually agree with Greg, Tom. I can see both sides of that. So especially in the human services field, we do like to have our legislative champions, and those champions that get to know a deep understanding of our causes or a deep understanding of people, the rights of people with disabilities, in my case specifically, or what are the issues are around care for people with disabilities and what the supports that they need to have and the supports that they should have. So that's sometimes a lot of education that goes into that so people understand those issues. So sometimes I could see that's a drawback of if you have term limits because you have to go through that education with new people and new faces. But I also see it if it's so, I'm a new leader at the agency I'm serve at, and I sometimes think a fresh face and a fresh ideas are always good to invigorate into things. And I think having fresh faces in our politics and new ideas in politics is always a good thing as well.
Bill Bloom, we have a question from Bill. If he would mind stepping up the mic. And while he's doing that, let me just remind everybody that we're here in Moline tonight. It's another one of our Election 2018 Seeking Solution forums. And we have on our panel this evening Michael Glanz, Executive Director of the ARC of the Quad Cities area. Also Greg Aguilar, Director of Q2030 Quad Cities Chamber of Commerce. And Sonia Berg, who is an Alderman at Large for the City of Moline. Bill has a question.
I want to let the panel know that I gave them the readable card. If you're trying to wonder what it says, that was the good one, the good version. My name is Bill Bloom. I'm a resident of Moline. Basically been virtually a lifelong resident of the Illinois Quad Cities, and I'm also a Republican precinct committeeman. And I have a two-part question. The first part has to do with loss of businesses and jobs on the Illinois side of the river. I believe that that rhetoric or the type discussion does play a role in that, but I think there's more fundamental issues as well. We've seen several businesses move from the Illinois Quad Cities to the Iowa Quad Cities, and some of them are fairly substantial companies. You know, when you look at the cost of doing business in Illinois, it's materially higher than it is in some of the surrounding states. And I'm not saying this to badmouth Illinois. I'm saying this because I really think we need to look at the way, what do we need to do? And I'll just get my first question here. What do we need to do to attract businesses to Illinois by reducing the cost of operating in Illinois?
Are you talking about maybe like workers' compensation?
Workmen's compensation, property taxes, our sales taxes. If you eat in downtown Moline, by the time you're done with your taxes, your cost has gone up 10% just from paying the taxes. And all of those things affect, you know, where people decide to do business, where they decide to go out. If people, decide they're going to Iowa because there's more businesses there to eat at, and there's more, and the taxes are lower, then they're going to spend money in Iowa. Everybody's done the gas station survey at some point in time. But anyway, so that's the first question: is there anything, any dialogue at the state level of actually lowering the cost of running a business in Illinois to attract businesses to Illinois?
Let me let Greg weigh in on that here.
When we lobby in Springfield every year, that's always one that comes up is workman's comp. And so here is a region that is a major issue. The cost to do business because of workman's comp has certainly been an issue, and we bring it up over and over at the state of Illinois, and unfortunately we haven't seen much change on that because it certainly has been an issue, but it's also something that Quad citizens, when we go to Springfield, we talk and we try to work on it every day. When it comes to sales tax, that's one that I'm unfortunately just not up to date on what has been going on. I'm sure there's something going on. Maybe Alderwoman can help us out with that. But those are serious concerns.
Go ahead and ask your second question.
Well, the second one goes back to the issue of property taxes. I truly believe if we could come up with a long-term plan that would lower the property tax rates in Illinois, that would help. But I think the people would have to believe it. We have great homes in Illinois. I drive regularly. On the way over here, we drove through one of the older neighborhoods, beautifully decorated Victorian home, and I pointed it out to my wife and about how you just don't see that kind of thing anywhere but in the Illinois Quad Cities. If you look at housing starts in Iowa, and I'm sure you guys are painfully aware of that compared to Illinois. They have a lot more housing starts. The property tax in Illinois are a double whammy on the citizens of Illinois because not only do they kind of siphon a little bit of disposable income out of their pocket every every year, but also it depresses the value of homes in Illinois. And in many cases, that home may be the largest single asset that individual owns or that family owns. And then when they go to sell it, it can be kind of shocking about what their home is now worth, as opposed to, you know, if you buy a home in Iowa, it's gonna be higher, it's gonna be a lot more expensive. But a year from now, you know, it'll appreciate in value, or 2 years from now. In Illinois, you know, we're not sure what's happening there.
Okay. Bill, appreciate it. Let me let our panel respond to that. And Sonia, do you want to weigh in on that?
And sure. And it goes back again, Bill, to the thank you for asking the question on the property taxes again, because, you know, I guess in my life I deal with it every single day, you know. And it goes back to the whole, you know, you got to add, you know, all the other values that come into that with the vehicle taxes, with the state income tax, you know, it really does all even itself out. You know, maybe not totally, but for the most part, you know, it evens itself out. And yes, we do need to do something about the property tax, but I don't have that answer right now.
Well, I believe the governor, I think some others have pushed an idea of a property tax freeze at one point. Is that something that you think would be a good idea, or would that create some more problems?
You know, I'm sorry, really haven't followed up too much on that, so I don't have the answer for that.
You know, one thing I do want to bring up is as I was saying earlier, and I'm okay with this because I knew this was probably going to happen, but if we're looking at one single issue, and that's property tax, we look bad. We brought this up multiple times, but we really need to address this issue. So if anyone out there listening, if you have any connections that we can use to help fight on this property tax issue, let's do it. But let's do what we can, because this is an issue that's not going to go away. This is top of mind for our Illinois citizens. I understand. I wish I had a solution. Unfortunately, I do not.
And we need to, I mean, all of us, we need to continue to work with our, you know, lawmakers, you know, on both the state and the federal level to make sure that, you know, our community gets the support it needs, but the support we deserve as faithful taxpayers as well. So, you know, and I try to see all the positive, you know, more of the positive than in always just looking down at the, you know, negative of the property taxes. You know, we have, you know, we have all this work going on John Deere Road right now that is set to be completed at the end of 2018. And we see, you know, maybe perhaps businesses coming there once they are waiting for the, you know, construction, because they don't want to deal with the construction and open up their business now. You know, we have, you know, how important is the I-74 project to our community? The millions of dollars, countless jobs, you know, not to mention the fact that this is one of the biggest infrastructure projects that has come to our area in many years, and one of the only infrastructure projects in this magnitude happening in the whole country. This is, you know, keeping our constituents working and in our area. So the, you know, I-74, we do have something to look forward to. The Amtrak, you know, we don't have a date on that. So we always like to say it should be done in 5 to 8 years, but we've already built, you know, the multimodal station to accommodate that Amtrak project. So again, the positive, I just kind of try to keep that positive momentum going, you know, and not, I know the property taxes comes up, but, you know, just try to keep the positive momentum.
And one more comment on that. As I was mentioning earlier, when it came to living in Illinois versus Iowa and how you look at the balance with property taxes and what you might pay for your car registration or your income tax, I agree, property taxes are high in Illinois, and that's a problem, especially for our businesses and our citizens. But our corporate tax rate it's actually about average when it comes to national. We're at 5.25%. So it's another balance. We want it all. We want it all to be at low cost to no cost. I get it. I would love that. In an ideal and a perfect world, that's how it would be. But we can't ignore the balance that does exist. Again, a 5.25% corporate tax rate, I think that's it is right about average, if not a little bit below average.
Bill Long, we had a question from Bill. If you wouldn't mind stepping up. And one of the things you just touched on there, I think when you look at certain states, there are certain states that don't have an income tax, for example, yet you look at the fees in Florida as an example of this. You pay quite a bit for your driver's license fee, for many other things there. So sometimes it's not an apples-to-apples comparison when you're looking at different states, because everybody does things a little bit differently. Bill, appreciate it, and if you could ask your question.
I'm going to make a couple statements, and then I'll leave a couple questions, and I'll go back and relax and listen to them. First of all, my personal opinion, I've lived here since 1952, and I've been a property owner since God knows when. I don't think that property taxes in between Iowa and Illinois is enough to make a difference to move either side. Sales tax where you do your shopping and your play, and that's a little different. We all know how that is in Illinois compared to Iowa, and I think it does affect us, as Mr. Bloom was saying. But there's something that we never hear anybody say, and I'm gonna say, if you want to see a professional golf, you can't go to Iowa and see it. You gotta go to Illinois. If you wanna see a top-rated concert, you can't see it in Iowa as often. You gotta go to Moline. If you want an outstanding dinner and an outstanding show, you gotta go to Rock Island to Circa 21 and see that. We got more things going in Illinois than anybody cares to talk about, and you never hear them talking about it. As Virgil was saying, you never hear them talk about it. We gotta blow our own horn a lot more than we ever have. My two questions are, and it goes back to the round table. What I learned sitting at the round table is, I've always heard that we're joined by the river. I found out at the round table we're separated by the river. There's nothing joined at all by us. That river is no good for joining us. It's separating us. Until we learn how to join on the river, we're gonna have these big problems on the two sides, just like Green Bay and Chicago. It's always gonna be there. Secondly, in 1967, I believe it was, I served on a committee with the East Moline JCs, and we investigated the super city concept. Came up again in the 80s, I believe. Came up again about 5 or 6 years ago, and at the round table it came up. Whatever happened to the super city idea? Is it a dead deal? Why don't it get more attention outside of jealousy?
And what is it exactly, for those that don't know?
Super city is the forming relationships between Silvis, East Moline, Moline, and Rock Island and Milan under one concept to buy your goods. You only need maybe two police chiefs. You only need two maybe fire chiefs. You cut down on all the expenses of government expenses, and that is where we save taxes. And I think it's a good idea then. I think it's a good idea now. I'll tell you what I heard at the Super City I said at when I brought it up. And I live in Rock Island. I live with these guys. And I had a guy from Silvis say, you'll never get us to go to a super city with Rock Island. Just like that.
Let's let our panel weigh in and appreciate the questions there. And Sonia, are you familiar with this concept?
I am. And actually, and Virgil can probably talk about this as well, that we do a lot of joint, whether it be gas sharing. I know we share some gas, share water. There's different things that we are, and it's still in its infancy stages, but there's still time to grow it. But we are definitely sharing. Right now we currently share a 911 center with East Moline and part-time sometimes with Silvis. So we are working together to, bring us all together. So like I said, it's still in its infancy stages, but we are definitely working together.
And that's certainly a topic that's been brought up multiple times because, one challenge when you're speaking on behalf of your community and you show up and say, hello, Governor, I'm from East Moline, Illinois, and we're a population of 21,000. And hello, I'm from Moline, and we're a population of how many in Moline? Help me out.
48,000.
48,000, thank you. But if we're to come together as one giant city, all of a sudden you become maybe the third largest city in Illinois. There's a lot of influence and there's a lot of power there. Something to think about. But there's also, there will be jobs that will be cut. And is that something that we're willing to sacrifice? So I think it's a dialogue that continues to grow, and there continues to be interest in it. And again, we have to keep talking about it like we did at the big table to see if that is something that's gonna help our region or not. And also to follow up with a very important point that Bill Long said is, as we start to brag, and especially with our professional sports, we can't ignore that more professional sports championships have been won in the state of Illinois since 1990 than any other state. We are a national sports dynasty with the Bulls, the Bears, and the Cubs winning that World Series. So there's a lot to be celebrated there when it comes to professional sports as well.
If we could try to get a few more questions in before we run out of time, so I'm gonna call a few names here. If Wendy Hilton Morrow could step up, and also Glenn Evans and Marla Beatty, and if you could quickly ask your question, we'll see if we can get an answer for each of you before time gets away from us this evening. Go right ahead.
Thank you. I'm a lifelong Illinoisan, and my question has to do with the diversity that's found in Illinois. Greg, you talked about the two schools that have received national acclaim. There's a difference in those two schools, one being in Illinois, one in Iowa. One is pretty homogenous when it comes to ethnic and racial diversity. The other one is extremely diverse, and that's something that my husband and I value for our own children in Illinois. How can we do a better job, particularly in the Illinois Quad Cities, of marketing the diversity we have here as something that people will want to come to, especially young people who I do think value that racial, ethnic diversity that we have here?
Yeah, one thing that I learned very quickly when I went through the United Township High School school system is that you better learn to get along with people who look different than you, who come from a different socioeconomic background, because it is truly one of the most diverse, if not the most diverse, high schools in the entire Quad Cities. And you better learn to get along with everyone, otherwise you're gonna eat by yourself every day in the lunchroom, and that's no fun. And gym class will be brutal. But that's something that we need to celebrate. Because why are so many people from all over the world saying, I want to go live in Illinois? Why, and I'll tell you why, because Illinois has always been inclusive. We've never tried to become a melting pot and say, hey, you all have to become one thing. Illinois has always been a salad bowl. You can see that with some of the neighborhoods that we have here, especially in the Quad Cities, you have a Floreciente neighborhood, which has been always been for immigrants. For a long time, it was German immigrants and Belgium immigrants, and now it's been Hispanic, Latino, Mexican immigrants. You know, you look in the suburbs of Chicago, you have Pilsen, you have the South Side, you have the West Side, and there's just, there's a lot of diversity, but we need to embrace it. Especially when it comes to the workforce, we can't ignore that in July of 2015, one in two births in the United States were non-white. 50.2% of the birth rate, or 50.2% of people born in the United States were non-white. So diversity is the way that we're going. It's the way that we've always been, and there's strength with it because you get diverse ideas, you get diverse perspectives. You learn from people who grew up differently than you, so when you create solutions that are gonna affect your community or your region, you've taken into account diverse opinions so you could create the best solutions. Now also, talking about United Township, if you go through the East Moline school system before you get into high school, some of these schools have 38 different languages. But because people value diversity, because it's who we are in Illinois, especially when it comes to the Illinois Quad Cities, we have people that have grown up with it, have learned to appreciate it, love it, and they've learned how to develop all types of people. And that says a lot. When you have 38 different languages that turn into one language when you get to the high school level and they can still receive national accreditation for what they've done, there's something there. And the amount of leaders that come out of East Moline, it's pretty amazing stuff.
Anybody else want to weigh in?
I just want to second that. I think the diversity is great here, and I think that it's a huge reason. So we've been kind of talking about a monetary reason to leave Illinois, but I think this is one of those strengths that we have in this area is the diversity, and that's a reason to stay. I think a major reason to stay is it's not a monetary reason always to leave, but it's you're staying because of the cultural fit, because of your personal network, because of your family and friends and the network that you have, because of the diversity here in the Illinois Quad Cities, and I think that's the way people stay. You've seen that in Corn Ferry, I think, recently put out a survey where they showed that the number one reason people are currently leaving their jobs is not for more money, they're leaving it because of a cultural fit at that agency. And I see that just as where you choose to live. You're gonna choose to live because of the cultural fit that you have, because of the neighbors that you like, the neighbors that you know, because of those personal relationships you have. And then always in talking about diversity, I have to also bring up that I do believe that diversity includes disability, and we also have to look and include people with disabilities whenever we have those conversations on diversity. And I think there is a great fabric of supports for people with disabilities on the Illinois Quad Cities, and that they get included all over in life, and you see them out experiencing life just like everyone else.
And I think, is it Glenn? And Glenn, if you could just be pretty quick with this one, you try to get it in before we run out of time.
First of all, I just want to add on to that conversation that you just had about diversity. I agree in some areas, but then in some areas I disagree, because as we're talking about the workforce and the development that this has just happened in the Quad Cities, everybody's talking about the jobs as far as the rail, Moline, the bridge. I'm a union member who has fought to make sure that there was more diversity in the workforce out here. And for whatever reason, when you look out here at these developments, where do you see people of color? not just African Americans, but people of color. We need to work on making that more of a priority in the Quad Cities if you want to keep people of color in the Quad Cities. The other question I had was dealing with, as far as these $100,000 a year pensions, adding on to what Virgil stated about term limits. It's sad when we look at these career politicians who are retiring that are affecting our budget price based on them making $100,000 a year in retirement. How do we address that?
I don't know if our panel has any solutions to that one, but it's a good statement either way. If anybody wants to weigh in, you got a minute or so, but I think they're willing to leave that to other minds to figure out. You know, here we are in a pretty nice evening here in the summer, and I think the one factor we haven't really talked about much when it comes to the leaving the state of Illinois is the weather. A lot of these, if you look at where the growth has been, it's been in the warmer states. People retire, especially, they want to move someplace nicer. We have some pretty harsh winters in this state. You know, quickly, is there any, you know, response to that as well? I mean, is that a big factor?
You know, I've heard that there are people who are miserable that live in Hawaii. And I've heard the same about Florida. But I'll tell you what, as challenging as sometimes winters can be, and especially I've seen it with international residents that come to live in the Quad Cities, if they've never experienced a winter, it's very tough, and often that will happen. But one advantage is when it comes to winter, my allergies, I don't even know I have them.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this evening. Again, our panel this evening here in the Quad Cities, Michael Glanz, Greg Aguilar, and Sonia Berg. And let's give them a hand for coming out tonight. I want to also thank all of you who've come out this evening, and for those of you who've been listening on air, it's been another of our NPR Illinois Forums, Election 2018, Seeking Solutions. And we're traveling the state. You can find these archived forums. They're online. You can go to nprillinois.org and find them. And, of course, here in the Quad Cities, you can hear them every Saturday afternoon. They'll be playing on WVIK. Our next stop is August 16th. We'll be in Alton, and if you can't attend that, pretty good trip for you. You can at least tune in. I'm Sean Crawford with NPR Illinois, and support for the series provided by AARP. Have a good evening.